The ball is now in the U.S. court on a major trade deal offered by Taiwan, and Washington trade experts say that the U.S. should act now, despite long misgivings about the impact on trade with China. Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen's strategically timed offer to loosen import restrictions on the U.S. pork and beef with mean lateness additive ractopamine could end decades of stalemate on trade deals. That's if U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and some key lawmakers stop favoring China amid rising tensions over trade, military, and COVID-19. American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore wants a balanced approach, not based on political whims. A quote from him says that we want the U.S. doing everything we can to get to China, mainland China, and Taiwan as solid, stable markets, and we'll certainly pass that along to folks on Capitol Hill and folks in the executive branch as well. Moore also suggests the trade deal with Taiwan could even hasten a Phase 2 deal with China. Taiwan is the U.S.'s fifth-largest market for agricultural goods. U.S.-Taiwan Business Council President Rupert Hammond Chambers talked about the trade ambassador Robert Lighthizer putting China ahead of Taiwan on trade deals. His quote was, if Mr. Lighthizer is thinking about a choice between one side or the other, he's making a false choice. The other, I fear, will have the U.S. trade representative will pocket this concession, and all they'll do is relaunch trade investment framework agreements, the TIFA, which they have done on, have had on hold, rather, since 2016. And much more modest of a trade platform is the TIFA. The Business Council echoed earlier calls for more than 160 U.S. House members of both parties for the trade representative to launch trade deal talks with Taiwan as soon as possible. And the U.S.'s top ag negotiator is appearing to have toned down his rhetoric on the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China. During a speech given to the U.S. Soybean Export Council, Greg Dowd didn't talk about the binding nature of the deal, his enforcement mechanisms, or the ability to reimpose tariffs on China if they don't follow through. When asked about the sanctions for noncompliance, he stressed the fact that the deal is a two-year commitment. Investing.com says the speech was in sharp contrast to some other appearances by Trade Representative's Chief Ag Negotiator Robert Lighthizer. At the USDA's annual forum back in February, he said both nations would meet every month to discuss progress, while also noting that a lack of compliance would also allow each of the nations to impose tariffs equivalent to the size of the damage. During his appearance with the USSEC, he said, quote, everyone wants to measure month to month and how we're doing there. At least from my perspective, we have to give this some time. American farm exports to China have been running behind the pace needed to reach the $36.5 billion commitment this year. Shipments for the first 6 months of this year have totaled only 23% of the overall target. And Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue last week hinted that more coronavirus food assistance program aid for farmers could be on the horizon. Perdue confirmed that the Department of Agriculture is considering, quote, shortly after Labor Day, offering a second wave of CFAP relief during a press call. Funding for the next round of payments would come from the additional $14 billion that Congress allocated to the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act to replenish the Commodity Credit Corporation account after July 1st of this year. Many ag groups say more relief is needed for farmers and ranchers as the first wave of CFAP will close a week from Friday on September 11th, and that is when the sign-up period closes. Although farm groups are lobbying for even more aid, like the $20 billion included in the failed Senate aid package back in July, lawmakers are expected to try again here in September to pass another round of economic stimulus, but it is uncertain if agriculture will even be included in said stimulus. The USDA's Farmers to Families Food Box program has distributed more than 75 million food boxes in support of American farmers and families affected by COVID-19. President Trump recently announced another $1 billion would be added to the Farmers to Families Food Box program while the economy continues to reopen. The delivery of 75 million food boxes has helped an incredible amount of the Americans in need, according to Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. Quote, I couldn't be prouder of the great job done by the food box program staff and the many farmers, distributors, and nonprofits that helped to get this program off the ground for the American people. Perdue also says the program is almost finished with its second round of deliveries, and they're working harder than ever to continue to build their success of the program. The third round of purchasing starts tomorrow, September 1st, when USDA plans to purchase combination boxes to ensure all recipients of the organizations have access to fresh produce, dairy products, fluid milk, and meat products. Additional box types will be considered on an as-needed basis. And, of course, the dairy product box that they were having in Carlinville was a part of that program. Moving on into a bit of state ag news for your Monday, the demand side of the equation for corn is likely preventing a stronger corn price rally. That's just the bottom line of it, according to Todd Hubbs of the Illinois Extension. A quote from him says, because when you look at USDA's set of projections, to him, they are on the high end of possibilities for consumption during 2020 and 2021 based on economic conditions that we are currently in. Hubbs, an ag economist at the U of I, says the corn consumption is to be as large as the USDA projects. It will require a very low price. When you sit down and look at use in total, a quote from him again, the USDA is projecting 14.775 billion bushels of use. That's up over a billion bushels from the present marketing year. So to create that kind of demand, it will require really strong feed usage. That is feasible. The last Friday cattle on feed report showed a lot of placement, and there are a huge lot of hogs. But will that continue through 2021? It's a big question given where prices have been over the last couple of months. USDA has also pegged corn exports above 2 billion bushels. That's again feasible, according to Hubs, but it says it will require a low price to entice buyers away from the competition in South America. And then there is ethanol and the pandemic that's going on. Corn use for ethanol is always a worry for him these days, and they have it at 5.2 billion bushels. We're sitting on almost 10% down on ethanol production from where we would typically be at this time of year, and it looks like it's going to be continuing for a while. Gasoline demand has flattened out, and we've seen ethanol exports below last year's pace due to the coronavirus. USDA's demand production just feels like it's way out of proportion on the high end of the range, according to Hubs, and to get there, the price of corn will likely need to continue to stay low. The harvest season will soon be underway with farmers hauling corn and beans to their local elevator, and according to Jeff Adkison with the Grain and Feed Association of Illinois, he says there will be some new challenges this year due to the ongoing pandemic. The Grain and Feed Association represents more than 90% of the commercial grain storage space in the state, where members include grain elevators and grain handling facilities, processors, feed mills, and companies who provide goods and services to the industry. And the Illinois Harvest Permit will again be available for farmers that haul corn and beans this fall. The permit is from IDOT, and that was according to Farm Bureau's Mark Gebhardts. You can find more about the permit by going online to IllinoisFarmBureau.org, that's ILFB.org, and typing Illinois Harvest Permit in the search box. The Harvest Permit gets underway starting tomorrow, September 1st. And in other state ag news and more local ag news, the American Farmland Trust will be having an informative webinar coming up this week on Thursday. It'll be held from 10 a.m. to 11:45 a.m., The free webinar will focus on managing phosphorus and conservation cropping systems, and presentations will highlight current research and management tips for farmers and their advisors on cover crops and other best management practices that reduce non-point source phosphorus loading here in Illinois. Participants will be offered 1 1/2 credit hours of continuing education credits in nutrient management. The Illinois Upper Macoupin Creek watershed is listed by the Illinois Science Assessment and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy as one of the highest non-point source phosphorus loading watersheds in Illinois. The adoption of a well-managed conservation cropping system will lead to improvements in water quality and soil health. Speakers for the webinar on Thursday include Dr. Heidi Peterson, Vice President of Ag Research and Conservation for the Sand County Foundation out of Wisconsin, where she leads the foundation's ag conservation team and sets its strategic direction and research in farmer and rancher engagement. Dr. Peterson will summarize the four R's of phosphorus. Dr. Fabian Fernandez is the Associate Professor of the Department of Soil, Water, and Climate at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Fernandez will discuss phosphorus application and placement techniques. And finally, Dr. Nathan Nelson is the Associate Professor of Agronomy at Kansas State, where he focuses on primarily finding ways to increase the efficiency of phosphorus during application. Dr. Nelson will examine phosphorus cycling with cover crops. And the Upper Macoupin Creek Partnership also includes 17 members of a committee comprised of 8 farmers, 2 reps of M&M Service Company, 2 reps from CHS and Shipman, 2 reps from the USDA's NRCS office in Macoupin County, along with 1 representative from Macoupin County's Soil and Water Conservation District, along with 1 representative from the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, and 1 representative of the American Farmland Trust. The Illinois Sustainable Ag Partnership is a 12-member group focused on messaging, outreach, training, and education for farmers and their trusted advisors to bring together a disseminate new information and lessons learned in plain, practical language to better soil health. And in other events coming up this week, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be hosting an informational meeting about wind farms coming up again Wednesday, September 2nd at 6 p.m. at the Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. Laura Harmon of the Illinois Farm Bureau will be speaking, and a Zoom meeting option will also be offered for those who wish to attend virtually or over the phone. Wind energy companies are prospecting acreage and contacting landowners in Montgomery County, and the County Farm Bureau is working to provide an educational opportunity before farmers and landowners get busy with harvest and are forced to make rush decisions. The meeting will address several issues and concerns that may arise with placement, management, and contract negotiations of wind energy. The educational meeting is to assure members of Montgomery County Farm Bureau have the proper resources necessary for making wise choices concerning their land and its future for generations to come. More information or questions about the meeting may be given to the County Farm Bureau at 532-6171 or by emailing Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson at kwilson@montcofb.com. Pre-registration for the meeting is required, and a face covering will be required to attend the meeting in person. And if you'd like to attend virtually or over the phone, you can ask for the Zoom meeting information at your time of registration. And the meeting is a Montgomery County Farm Bureau member event only. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here for a Monday. But remember, you can always send your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, August 31st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.